Would you like to know how you can quash or beat your imposter syndrome today?
Yeah, we're going to do it.
You don't need to be struggling with this so much. I don't want it to stop you. It is stopping too many super smart, highly conscientious people. And today is the day that we take action to get rid of this thing, or at least to diminish it. And these, what I'm going to share is based on massive success in coaching conversations and training. These are tips based on science. You can implement them today. You can start moving forward and give imposter syndrome a much smaller place in your brain. So, welcome to the Speak Up Podcast for high-performing introverts, including you social introverts, where we reveal the charisma and communication secrets of A-listers so that you can get the recognition and the opportunities you deserve. I'm your host, Laura Camacho, your magical communication godmother, coach, and strategist. Take note that we now release episodes every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. And this is Monday. Today's episode is a mini. It's a roughly 10 minutes into three science-based keys to quash imposter syndrome. Number one, stop calling it imposter syndrome. Imposters. Look up the definition of imposter. It's going to be someone who intentionally defrauds. That is a terrible thing to be. Imposters generally get sent to prison. That is just a terrible thing to tell, to mention, to suggest that you, a highly conscientious high performer, are actually struggling with imposter syndrome is not a good message to your own brain. And we all know from psychology, I'm not going to cite any studies. You can look them up. You can contact me if you doubt the science of this. But when you name things, it gives you more power over them, right? But the thing with imposter syndrome, the name itself, I mean, it was great marketing for the people who are selling anti-imposter syndrome trainings. But is giving something that is normal, which is called self-doubt, more power than it needs to have. All healthy people have self-doubt. People who do not have self-doubt are called sociopaths, psychopaths. I don't know. I'm not a shrink. But normal, well-functioning people have self-doubt from time to time. And we have self-doubt in the activities and the tasks where we have less experience, right? But if you say to yourself, wow, I have imposter syndrome, that sounds like so intimidating. Like just hearing myself say that, I'm like, wow, how do I have the gall and the courage to be talking about imposter syndrome? Maybe I have it myself. Maybe I'm an imposter. I'm a fake communication coach. No. Yes, I can have self-doubt from time to time. That's a normal thing. So having self-doubt is good and normal. It means you're a healthy, functioning human being. And maybe that self-doubt has a message for you. That's what I want us to explore. The first step for you, and I know that you probably have a team of people reporting to you, when you hear people self-reference imposter syndrome, I want you to suggest to them that they replace that term with self-doubt. Okay? Number two, if you feel significant self-doubt about a task you need to perform, it usually means you need more and more specific feedback. Because generally speaking, you do not have self-doubt in everything you do, but you have self-doubt around the activities in which you have less experience. If you're just newly promoted and you have new responsibilities, it is so healthy that you have self-doubt. That is good. And now you're going to get better and you just have that self-doubt. You're going to seek more specific feedback. But I want you to get specific feedback. I want you to break down the thing where you feel the most self-doubt. And I'm just going to use public speaking, giving presentations as an example. Let's say that's something that you feel self-doubt about. What is this key? Getting more specific feedback. You can hire me. I will be glad to help you. But you don't need to do that. But you can get specific feedback on only one element at a time. First of all, get your introduction, like get your opening statement to be better. Find a more interesting way to start your presentation. Focus on that first. Get somebody at work who is really good at it to help you out. Get your boss to help you out. Probably your boss is better at presentations than you are. Not always the case. Or it could be have better visual aid. Give less information. Tell better stories. Have a better ending. Make it shorter. But just do one thing and get specific feedback on that one thing until you no longer have self-doubt about that one aspect of it. Like, oh, I'm terrible at giving presentations, but boy, my introductions are good. Or I'm terrible at presentations, have so much self-doubt, but I know that's going to be short. At least they won't take that much time. There are a myriad of things where you have self-doubt, not in everything, but those things where you have less experience. Get specific feedback on one feature, and just as you get more feedback, you will get better. And that's why people who have more feedback experience less self-doubt. Number three, I want you to examine the thing that is a disadvantage for you. Like, you may have this thing that for you explains why you have self-doubt. It could be that you're an introvert. It could be that you're shy. It could be that you speak English as a second language. It could be that you went to a nothing burger university. It could be that you're short. It could be that you're the only female, the only male in the room. It could be that you're the only Catholic, that you're the only atheist, the only person that cares about the environment. I can't imagine that, but it could be true. I want you to identify, start with just one thing that is your disadvantage, you know, this thing that holds you back. Like in my case, I can give you two things. One thing that holds me back, I can say, is that I need 8 hours of sleep. For years, I've been hearing, you know, I've been listening to good speakers all my life. These people that tell me, well, you know, I only need to sleep 4 hours a night. And I'm thinking, wow, what an advantage you have over me, because that's 4 hours a day that you can get more stuff done. You can work more on your podcast, on your coaching, on your business, on your finances, on your stock trading. Wow, what an advantage. I don't have that. But you know what? The fact that I need 8 hours of sleep means I have to be more efficient. So I am a very efficient worker. Another thing is, yes, I'm an introvert. Going to networking events, which is a key to building a business, which I am the owner of a business, which just celebrated 15 years, takes a lot of energy. I would rather not do it. So I have my own hacks for getting around that, and I still do it. But if I did more, I would probably have more money. Who knows? But it's okay. The fact that I'm an introvert is an asset because it allows me to help other introverts more effectively because I know exactly what's going on inside their brain. If English is your second language, you're way cooler than somebody who for whom English is their first language. You probably speak English better if you get down to it. You have a cool accent. You have to find it, though. You have to find what is the asset in this thing. And if you're not sure, ask a trusted friend, email me. But everything that you think is your disadvantage, whether it's any of the things that I listed at the beginning of this section, there's an asset in there. If you went to a nothing burger university, the people that work for you, that can be inspirational. It can be inspirational to your alma mater that you've done so well. Everything that is holding you back or that you see as a disadvantage, there's an asset embedded in that, and I want you to find it. So what are the three things? We're no longer using that word that starts with an I, and the second word is syndrome. We're calling it self-doubt. We're going to seek more specific feedback on one small subcategory of the thing that we're not good at or the thing that we're not as confident about. And we're going to take a deeper look. What is the thing that I feel like holds me back? And how can that be considered an asset? That's your homework. Thank you for being here.
If you are not getting our weekly communication dispatches with life-changing communication tips every week, please do not delay. Visit www.speakupwithlaura.com and get on our Speak Up list. Have a fabulous day. Take care. See you on the next episode. Bye-bye.